I was at a friend's house, and she has like a, his mom has like a table with like statues of Jesus on it. And stuff. And there's one statue that is in the shape of a penis. Like his, Jesus is like this, right? He's straight up. And his hair is parted in a way. And it loops in. It's and then his shoes are like very round and stuff. And I was like, what the heck? Why is this Jesus?
Like, to the extent like that you firmly are wondering, is this a gag thing on purpose? And she missed it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway, but I don't know why Zach put in Phantom Zone paws in the shape of penises. Besides that, the movie's great. Hans Zimmer's score is amazing. The fighting is so good from the Smallville fight. Feyora, which I have a statue. Sorry, Feyora? I always confuse the two for some reason. It's Feyora, she's so freaking good. Like, even her back and forth with the general of, like, good death is its own reward. And, like, her fights, like, she's quick. Like, she's almost like the Flash quick. She's like, bing, 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 bing. And, like, good. The Smallville fight is good. I love the I wouldn't change it. I don't care if it's long. It's fine. I was about to say something that would have required a pause.
What about this?
I don't care. That is, one thing. There's a really funny meme. Really funny meme. Have you guys seen this meme of the squirrel? There's a meme of a squirrel doing that. Of being like, don't save me. It's fine. I'll just show. Anyway, the Jonathan Kent thing, I've never had an issue with it. Never. Because he, Jonathan Kent, loves his son. Loves him. Like, if people are wondering, like, oh, well, he should have had just Clark save him. But one thing, the world wasn't ready for him. He wasn't ready. At this point, he's like 17 years old. And it's like, would you tell your son to go, hey, you need to go save the world? Not only that, but you'll probably die for the world too. Like, no father would tell his son that. Say, hey, go die for the world, unless you're freaking God. That's the only person ever that would say that. And he said that all throughout the movie, and he backed it up in that moment. Like, he not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk. Like, no, son, I care for you so much. I do not want you outed. You're not ready for this. It's fine. Don't save me. And Clark trusted his dad in that point, that as a good son does. And he carries that with him. That's why he's so reluctant to find the time, the right chance to become Superman, to go out into the world.
Yep.
I'll build on it because Man of Steel was my number one as well. I'm in a much different place than Chris with it. I don't think it's the best Superman.
Sean doesn't love any Superman movies.
I don't love any. This is an 8 out of 10 to me, and Justice League is an 8 out of 10, and Superman Returns is an 8 out of 10. But what I like best about this, Chris, my issues with this one mostly come with like the whole Superman is the Codex plot point nonsense. That's stupid.
He's an immigrant.
He
has
sick.
All the hopes and dreams. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, well, and I mean, I know, I get the idea of what they're going for. I just think it's stupid. And yeah. I have to mention that after all the Superman movies, I'm sick of Superman saving the world, which is why maybe I like Superman Returns a little more. It like feels a little smaller scale because I'm sick of the alien invasion trope, if that makes any sense. But what this one is, I love the character development. This is my favorite origin story for a superhero outside of like
Superman 2025 directed by Zack Snyder
outside of like Batman Begins. I put it in that like in terms of a character development. I think it does a great job. I even expected to have some problems with the Papa Kent scene, but I No, I get it. That was him making his choice in that moment. I think it's cool. So, no, my issues with this film are small. They are narrative, and they don't outweigh the fact that, like, nope, this is the best development of a Superman in movies. It is a great job. And I do, despite not liking Alien Invasion everything constantly, I do think Zod's great. What's his name? I should know his name. Great actor.
Michael Shannon.
Is that him? Yeah.
Michael Shannon.
Great job. Terrifying. It's a great film. I enjoyed it more. I enjoyed it much more than I expected. Or more than I remembered.
What's your opinion on the next nap?
I never had a problem with it. I get people's... To me, every director is going to make a choice. And, you know, to tell the story, same way that James Gunn made the choice to change up Zor-El and stuff, which I was fine with, really. I have some, there's some things about that of like, he'll no longer have pride in being a Kryptonian. Like, he'll never probably call himself Kal-El, which that is a valid criticism of it. But to me,
it's
Superman
kind of away for nothing too. It just throws it away. Like it's a plot point, but now from moving forward, it's thrown. Like it's, I don't know.
It's fine. And so it's not like, sure, people call him Kal-El often enough in the comic books, but that's never like a plot point of like, hey, Superman, like, because Zor-El's dead all the time. To me, it's not that big of a deal. But I get people's things about it. The neck snapping thing. Like I said, directors are going to make choices. As they should. Like you, if you're not shaking up a few things, and then it's like, well, you know, that's sometimes you want to shake stuff up a little bit.
They did a great job of. He's like, I'm not gonna stop. And like he says, like, I was born to be a warrior. I was born to lead. Like in that moment. There is no other way. There is no way out. You are in a corner. Like I always bought it. I didn't know anybody's problem with it. It step by step perfectly to me. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of Superman comic writers. One of the most famous Superman comic writers is Mark Waid. And he loves Superman 2025. I'll just put that out there. As do a lot of comic writers. One thing, because they love James Gunn, because James Gunn supports them and stuff more. No, not that he pays the bills, but that he is adamantly very supportive of comic books. Like, he'll be like, oh, this is what I'm reading today. It has nothing to do with a movie he's coming out with or anything. He just loves comics. Mark Waid had a lot of issues with Superman snapping Zod's neck. He's like, I understand that the writer put him in that predicament, but me as a writer, I just wouldn't have put him in that predicament.
Right.
But anyway, I have never had an issue with it. Because one thing, it's not that Batman never kills. It's that he has that rule. And that sounds like I'm trying to, I don't know, have my cake and eat it too. But Superman, him snapping Zod's neck in that moment was like, one thing, he's fresh, he's new Superman. He felt like he had to do it. And when he did it, his reaction wasn't, boom, done. His reaction was, what did I do? And he screamed. Like, like he was physically upset with himself that he had to resort to killing Zod. And he cried. He cried in that moment. So I was perfectly fine with that. Like I said, writers are going to do things to characters to put them through something. And so I was perfectly fine with him snapping Zod's neck.
Yeah, it's real fast, just because it's something that nobody really talks about. But, like, again, in Superman 2, you know, 80, you've got three villains. In this movie, you got, like, 12. Like, people forget, like, Lois takes out, like, four or whatever it is on the ship, right?
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, a bunch of them die. And then, like, so, like, in the beginning... he's screwed. Like, he has to give up. There's no way he's coming out of it. And just the way that, like, again, like, the senses, like we were talking earlier, like, you were talking about Smallville, the senses where it shows him as a kid hiding in the closet, and then later on that plays into like Zod being dragged off, and like, and then the way like the big guy, I can't remember, but the big alien hovers over Superman, and then you have Laura with all of her good quirks and fighting skills and stuff like that. The stakes are raised to such a level. You're like, Superman's fighting an impossible battle, and I just always, whenever I revisit the movie, I'm always blown away of like how much he had to overcome in this movie. Like the odds were completely stacked against him. Like, I don't know. And, and the fact that he loses his dad again in this movie because, Jor-El's deleted in this movie. Like, so like the movie just, he loses both parents. The stakes are super, super high. This movie's just great. Like there's so many things that you just kind of take for granted in the movie. Like again, he loses his powers when he's in the ship and all that stuff. Like It's just so good. Like Russell Crowe is a great choice.
Great Zod, yeah. We're in a very good agreement here. I just want to bring up the thing I think is overrated, because I already mentioned that. I think Man of Steel is one of the most underrated, probably the most underrated superhero movie ever. And oftentimes when people talk about Man of Steel, they're like, or Henry Cavill, like, or Man of Steel, like, so dreary and down and stuff. I don't get that sense from Man of Steel. BVS does dive more into that. And so I think Man of Steel kind of gets lumped in with the BVS, with the, like, too dark Superman type of deal. To me, he's not dark at all in Man of Steel. Like, to me, the story is not that dark. The story is more hopeful and aspirational than people give it credit for.
Chris, we talked about this, though, man. We talked about this. The most underrated is Zorro, okay? Like, sorry.
It's fair. That's fair.
That's underrated. I'll argue for Wolfman.
I would still give it to Man of Steel because so many people rate that movie low. And I'm like, what are you guys? Like, I don't think anyone rates Zero low. It just has kind of vanished from the zeitgeist.
That's why it's underrated. Wow. Nobody talks about it.
I still think it's underrated. It's just... I think it's just not rated enough.
I do think
while Man of Steel has been,
I think that Zorro's scores for what are out there are generally really good. It just deserves more modern
recognition.
Yeah. Man. Whereas I think Man of Steel scores are very average. I want to say.
Yeah, they're kind of like, I think it was 50, high 50s in Rotten Tomatoes, maybe low 60s. Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes is a little weird. I usually veer towards, you know, the way that Rotten Tomatoes is. I usually veer towards, like, Metacritic scores, a balance at it. But, you know. Yeah.
Metacritic.
Yeah.
Metacritic is better.
Just as an aggregate. But, anyway. Yeah.
Real quick. One more thing before I go deep into number one. Yeah, that works. That's fine. Why is it that if you knew that this planet of Earth was going to make you superhuman, why didn't they go? Like, he makes a rocket ship and sends his son. They have, like, in Man of Steel, they have other ships that went to other colonies and they die off. Why wouldn't they go to Houston to rule, right? Like, why wouldn't they go to Earth to rule? I don't understand why they stayed on Krypton. Was it just a pride thing? Was it like a reservation thing, or was it like a mortal? Do they live forever there and they don't need super strength? Like, it looks like Russell Crowe had some super strength when he's like diving off the cliff and crap, but like, I feel like I'm missing something from some of those movies in that aspect.
So they mentioned it when Clark talks to Zor-El for the first time, and it was more so a pride thing of like our fate, because we made mistakes on Krypton. Like, our fate is tied to Krypton as well. Like, he made it seem like it would have been like either dishonorable or dishonest, or like he had to pay a certain amends that they should have stayed there.
I'm not saying that's just what they wrote.
Like, they didn't even try to write of like, oh, there's only room for, so they didn't mention any of that type of stuff of like, there's only room for a baby. He was just saying like pretty much what I just said.
I can't remember. Originally it wasn't the sun, it was something else, but I can't remember what it is. And But originally Superman was different than the Sun, but I can't remember now. But anyway, yeah. So my number one, if you're ready, unless you want to
go ahead.
All right, dude, guys, come on. Come on. It was the 70s, bro. Like it's, you got stuff like The Exorcist breaking box office records. You got Jaws and you got Superman, right? Making the summer blockbusters, not summer because they came out in like December, but like it was the tentpole movies. It was a part of that. It was the most expensive movie of all time. Matte painting, set pieces, score, actors, some of the best actors of the time. Like it is a little slow, but like they'd never done an origin story before. Like Marlon Brando has to have a line of like saying like, don't give out your identity because it can hurt the ones you love. Like that's so stupid, but like nobody had never been done before. Like, I don't know. Like the idea of him studying and training for 10 years about like John Kent dying of a heart attack and he couldn't save him. Like, I mean, again, I can see now from your guys' perspective, the Gene Hackman thing, but like the quirky, like the land tycoon living underneath the ground, like making his own island underground and like, the I'm going to hit the fault line, buy all this, then I'll be rich. Like, I don't know. Like, Otis is awesome. Like, oh. Otis Berg. Like, the movie is just, you'll believe a man can Otis fly. It looks good to this day.
Hey, Otis was in Superman 2025. Did you know that?
Yeah. He was the guy in the second command, yeah. But he didn't stand.
I mean, I'm not kidding, but I can, yeah.
Yeah. It started everything. People still use the same stuff today. The score is still being used today. Like Christopher Reeve is Superman. Like I don't know. It's just Jimmy is probably the best Jimmy we've ever had. I mean, arguably maybe the best Lex, but I mean, these are actors that are best of all time. And if you look at like Man of Steel, good actors, but they're not 78. Like, you look at 2025, good actors, but they're not 78. Like, and you're using plot points and everything else that came from here. And, like, and again, the set design and stuff still doesn't look good, as good as 78.
Actor-wise, I'm getting into Man of Steel based on Michael Kidder has never really done anything besides Superman. Reeves has never done anything. Hackman's done plenty.
Margot Kidder did Black Christmas. Nice. She did Amityville Horror. She did Halloween 2, Rob Zombie. She was in some stuff.
So she turned into, what, a C-list?
B-list. I'm sorry she was an alcoholic. I'm sorry.
While Men of Steel has Lawrence Fishburne, Russell Crowe, Henry Cavill's done slightly more than Reeves. Amy Adams. I believe she's won an Oscar, and she's been in plenty of things. Michael Shannon, freaking one of the great actors. Who else is there? Oh, Diane Keaton, Kevin Costner. Yeah, I'm giving the Man of Steel on. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
I think he's overrated, but he was like the peak of actors at that time.
Yeah, he was in it for 5 minutes.
He was. He got paid way too much. Reading his script off the diaper of the kid. Like, ridiculous.
Planet Krypton.
Krypton. No, dude, but that speech, like, at the end when he's flying away and the Earth is coming around him, like, it just, I get it. In today's world, it's slow, but for what it did, for what it means, I mean, I'd speed it up maybe and, like, shorten it a little bit, like, for today's world, but otherwise, it still moves me to this day, those sets are just beautiful. I miss matte paintings. I miss true sets. I miss real, really good acting. Like, I don't know. I miss it. Like, there was some okay acting in, like, Superman 25. There's some good moments in Man of Steel. Like again, most of it's, like, Russell Crowe, and there's some good moments, but I don't know.
I would say this. I think I could see 20 years from now, when I'm John's age,
I hope you still have
I can see 20 years from now, my kids being like, Dad, why do you love Batman Begins so much? it's slow and stuff. I'm like, kids, I don't understand. This is like one of the best depictions of, this is a true Bruce Wayne story and stuff. And so I could see that happening because Batman Begins probably couldn't even come out today. Like it's not like give me, it's not a like three action pieces type of movie, big, huge action pieces. It's more like a slow character build and type of stuff. But yeah. So maybe there's truth to that.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, some of it has to be nostalgia. Again, when I was growing up, there was a handful of superhero movies. So, like, this was everything. It's still, like, again, it still is. It is still using stuff today. It's that good. Like,
it's true.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just cool. I love the history of how they, you know, how the magician does his magic. Like, it's old school film stuff that just... it gets me. Like when I look at stuff nowadays, I'm like, yeah, it's CGI. It looks pretty easy. Like, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me.
I didn't say this earlier, but there's an element of when I complain about alien invasion being the plot of every superhero movie now forever, is that I don't always love everything in CGI, and there's something about, I'm going to call it just like more localized plots that maybe needs a little less of that stuff and a little more practical that I'd prefer the look of to everything big and giant CGI.
Dude, when I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, that movie was a breath of fresh air because like the movie, like the world was not ending. It was all about like the villain and what was happening to the villain and like their world was ending and like their motivation. Like it was all about character development and character driven. Like it was a breath of fresh air after every single Marvel movie was like, the world's gonna end, the world's gonna end, the world's gonna end. And this movie was like, no, we're gonna focus really tightly on this group and every, you know what I mean? Like it just, after a while, it just doesn't feel like, and again, in Superman 2025, we're ripping apart Metropolis. We're doing major things and it doesn't feel like it matters at all. Like these two warring countries about to fight, it just, nothing feels like it has any stakes at all.
That's what,
I don't know.
Wait, that's why ultimately like the Batman Begins and Dark Knight holding such high, like Dark Knight, if you think about Dark Knight, he's not even trying to save Gotham really, right? Dark Knight is such a masterclass in not saving the world. And I don't know why, I just prefer those types of stories, and that hurts my perception of Superman.
Well, and also
overall, because many of these movies are world saving adventures.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about The Dark Knight is that it's really not a battle to save Gotham physically, but to save the soul of Gotham. Like, that last fight of him and it's represented in the people on the ferry, and it's also represented by Harvey Dent. And also, like, Batman loses in The Dark Knight. He loses both times. Like, they voted to blow up that other ship. Even though they didn't do it, they still voted to do it. And then Harvey Dent, of course, turned into Two-Face.
Chris, when I waffle, when we talk about Batman Begins versus Dark Knight, and I think I go back and forth every single time, when I'm waffling, though, it's usually because of, like, big action scenes and stuff, but there's always that element of, like, he's not even really trying to save Gotham. And it's not an origin story. It's just a very uniquely told, tremendous story.
You gotta remember, though, the crux of The Dark Knight is not even really like that. The end is to save the soul of Gotham, but really the crux of the difference between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight is at the end of Batman Begins, she says, this is your mask, but one day when Gotham doesn't need Batman anymore, you can come back to me. So the whole thing is actually Batman and The Dark Knight trying to save Gotham to free himself from Batman to where he can step away and get to Rachel. And so the soul of Gotham happens after she's dead. So like it's all him just trying to save Gotham so he can save himself and be with the one he loves. Like, so like that shift from Begins to Dark Knight is just so good. Cause it's just that, yeah, it just keeps him motivated beyond just being Batman and having to save the day. Like the bigger picture, how do I get there? Like, yeah. Which that leads into, you know, the Rises is like, I've lost everything. Who cares? Like, yeah.
Maybe there's an element of that in, that would explain why maybe I liked Superman Returns more than it deserves. But just the scope was more of a Sean level scope in that film. Maybe not.
No, there's something. Yeah.
just lift this kryptonite island.
Yep, that's it, man. Just this little kryptonite.
your main weakness. I'm kidding. I was fine with that scene. I mean, I get people's complaints about him lifting kryptonite, but it's like Superman does Superman stuff.
Yeah, he's
growing like it's the same way in Man of Steel where he's going against the world engine. It's like, isn't that thing turning you more human? He's like, yeah, but I still got to try. Like, he technically shouldn't be able to shoot out of that world engine thing, but he does.
He's finding the extents of his strengths, and I'm fine with that.
I can't remember, but isn't it in Returns, isn't that synthetic kryptonite? So it's not like full strength?
Yeah, it's like recreated. Yeah, synthetic's probably the best word, right? But he recreates it, and then not Superman 3 levels where he gets it wrong because he puts tar in there or whatever.
Right. It's like DNA in Jurassic Park. It's like we had to fill in the gaps, yeah. So I just threw something in there. Cool.
But
life finds a way. You know?
Chris, I can see four easy rank our favorite blank things here.
Wait, let me first go through some.
Some ratings and stuff, right? Or some averages.
Yeah, got some numbers for us.
This is our lists were very different, so I imagine the averages are going to be watery.
All right, averaged out. Does that make sense? Yes, that makes sense. But those are tied.
Surely Superman 3 is the worst, and Snyder Cut is the best. Wow,
There's more tied than I thought. One second. Let me hide some columns so I can read this whole freaking thing. How do I hide columns? I'm in this. Oh, wait. Well, I can just do this. There we go. Okay. At number 11, Superman 3. We all got that. At number, there's a tie for 9 and 10.
It's inexplicable.
It is Superman 2, average out to 7.3, and Superman Quest for Peace, average out at 7.3. Then there is a tie.
So much worse.
Both me and John had Quest for Peace.
I know. I don't get it, but whatever. It's fine.
Then that's up. There's two ties at, I can't freak out the number. I think 9 and 8. 11. No, sorry.
You did 10 and 9 8 and 7.
Yeah, 8 and 7. At a 7, Justice League and Superman 2, the Donner Cut. Then two other ties at 5 and 6 is Superman 1, the movie.
It's just criminal. Yeah. I don't want it.
And Superman Returns.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
So those tied out. If I'm going to do a tiebreaker, I think we should vote on just so we can put Superman the movie where it can go. We should do a tiebreaker.
There's no tiebreaker.
I think Superman...
You go out and talk to 1,000 people that know Superman. You're putting Superman 7.
Chris brings a guest onto our show and then spits in his face.
Don't even. There's nobody. Come on.
Except for me, John.
It's so funny because it's John has Superman the movie at 1, of course, like we just mentioned. I have it at 10, and Sean has it at 7. And then we look at Superman Returns, John has it at 9, I have it at 7, Sean has it at 2, and so there's not as much range with Superman Returns.
It's a messy dichotomy.
But if I had to get, I would probably get the tiebreaker to Superman Returns, just because me and Sean both have those rated higher than Superman the movie.
No!
I'm just looking at the math, John, and trying to come up with... with the tiebreaker. You can't even affect it by trying to put it higher. It's already higher than, like, it's already at your 1. And you can't take my rating.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a fun movie, man. I'll die on that.
All right. Then the rest are not tied. So at 4 is Superman 2025.
Disgusting.
At 4.
Good. I say disgusting jokingly. It was my number 5, so that's fine.
I believe that beat number Return 78.
Number 3 is BVS. Number 2 is Zack Snyder's Justice League. And number 1 is Man of Steel. Yeah,
okay.
Honestly, the way I so bad talked BVS, it should honestly probably be lower, and then that would take Superman 2025 higher. But I won't change my stuff.
Don't
it's
you
fine.
Dare! That's don't fine. You dare take your fingers off that tablet,
dude. I mean, like, you know, to be fair, also, like, Man of Steel deserves to be ahead of the rest because it is it's its own movie. It is his own Superman movie. He's not borrowing with other superheroes. He's just straight up Superman. Yeah.
Our biggest difference, of course, is Superman 2025, John's 10 to my 2, and Superman the movie at a 9 difference, John's 1 to my 10. That is the biggest differences we had.
We couldn't, that, oh, God. Oh, God.
He's never coming back, Chris. You know this, right? Like, get it out now. It's over.
Oh, come on. Well, it sucks. I have to live in a world that this, I have to, like, support this again because I don't want any more reboots. So I have to go down with the ship I hate.
Amazing.
This and Patterson I got to deal with. Like, God.
I mean, you said to yourself, you might not have to deal with Pence. We'll see.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
We'll see. They're definitely making the movie. It makes no financial sense in a world where Superman 2025 only made like 600. It did good. Don't get me wrong. Did good. Made about 600 million. But during a pandemic, the Batman made like 800 million.
Right. And so, on a lower budget.
Yeah. They're going to make that movie again.
Hope so.
I don't know, man. I'd be scared after Joker. And I mean, honestly, the Penguin was very well acted. It wasn't that great. It was okay.
It was great. It was okay. Oh my gosh. Sofia Falcone, Sofia Gigante. She won an Emmy for that.
I hated that last episode. Like, it went too far. I don't like it. I was rooting for him until he did what he did.
Oh, you hate him because he killed. That's what story should evoke an emotion out of you. And him killing. So, Sean, you never seen The Penguin, nope. And you don't care about spoilers. Nope. So the Penguin at the end of the Batman, he has aspirations to become the Kingpin of Gotham. Essentially, there's still, so Falcone was killed in the Batman, and there's only a couple other big mobsters. He's trying to go up the ladder anyway. Anyway, he befriends this kid. I forget his name. First episode, he befriends this kid, and this kid is like becomes loyal to Penguin, like so loyal, and they're trying to work and scheme and stuff to take out other mobsters to get their drug stuff going, and at the end, Vic, thank you. At the end, they do it. They figure it out. They claw their way up to be the top mobs. Penguin claws his way up with the direct help of Vic. And the thing about Penguin is that he has this weird thing about family. The family kind of makes him weak. But the two get really close. And at the end, they're kind of celebrating. And then Vic is like, man, you know, you're like family to me. You're like brother. And Penguin has his arm on his thing. He's like, oh, kid. And then he just like literally squeezes the life out of him. Because Penguin sees like family as like a liability or as like an emotional liability to himself.
See, my gut reaction is that that's like HBO, like classic HBO shock value, just because is my knee-jerk reaction. Not this bad, just is like, oh, well, of course HBO would do that. That's how they do things.
But it was earned, to be fair. They're like, and that's what sucks. Like, Vic saves his life like 4 or 5 times. And like, but there's moments that you see Penguin being compromised because of his family. So it is earned. But I just was like, I need a villain where I can root for you a little bit. And like after that, I was like, because like again, I need like, it felt like it was a team, like they were coming up together, and I liked Vic, and then like now it's just him on his own. It's like it's just less interesting, and like I don't know, that movie also, like just like Joker, that show needs to have like a special thanks inspired of Sopranos, because it borrows so heavily from the Sopranos that it kind of was irritating. Like it just felt it felt like thievery.
I never watched Sopranos, but I got that general sense from other people and stuff that, oh, this is like Batman Sopranos.
Yeah.
But also, yeah. Sopranos are made by HBO, and they're just like, whatever.
Right. I know. Yeah. It's just, if you borrow stuff so directly from other stuff, I feel like you water it down. Again, it's almost like 78 Superman, right? You kind of water it down for future generations if you take what's good over here and then you iron it out, and then I don't know. I like Tarantino does this too, where he steals directly from other movies. There's shots and stuff like that, and I just feel like
there's always a line between inspiration, homage, and theft. And there's like there's a blurry line between each of those three.
Yeah. I don't know. The older I get now, the more I'm just like, I don't know, just it even bothers me sometimes of like my son will be watching like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Or a Batman cartoon or whatever it is. And sometimes when I see that cartoon stealing something from a really good movie, like a masterpiece of a movie, I'm like, God dang it. Like he just saw this in like a throwaway 30-minute cartoon. Where in this movie, this is a big realization. It's a great storyline, but this show just, I don't know. Just sometimes like it kind of bothers me.
Not to deviate, but can we do TMNT movies next?
Dude, yeah. Oh God, though, I don't know if I can rewatch Michael.
I'm sorry, we all have to do it. I don't make the rules.
I could, honestly. You know what?
See, it's already getting spicy. We haven't done it yet.
I just watched TMNT 1
3 weeks ago, when the anniversary came around.
Masterpiece.
Yeah, that movie. And we might not have to do the number one ranking because there's no other.
It's number one. That we won't fight
about. It's a master class.
Real fast, if I don't know, were you going to go over the suits real quick? Or
let's rank some suits. Yeah. Chris, I wrote down just, and you lead this where you want, but I wrote down suits, Lois's, Lex's, and Soups himself.
All right.
How you feel about that?
Yeah, sounds good. Those are pretty much the things.
Should be four of each, essentially, that we care about. I guess suits could be scratch that. Suits could have more, but the other ones, four of each.
Yeah. All right. Which one we start off with?
Let's do Superman himself right out the gate. Four through one.
Okay.
You know, I'll go first because I have the least informed opinions. And so 4-1, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I'm going to say Corn Sweat. He looks the least Superman-like to me. Ralph, next, the Returns guy. I thought he looked like a good Christopher Reeve villain. And then...
Wait, are we doing or like the actors? My bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going actors in that role.
Okay, my bad. Go ahead then. Yep. My fault. I'm sorry. Superman. My bad.
So Cornsweet, Routh, Cavill, and then Reeve. Reeve just looks the part, man. He just looks right. And then I do love Cavill. So that was kind of a coin toss one too. That's my Supermans in order.
I went Cavill at 4, even though I love Cavill. Like, then that's so weird. Sometimes my lists are weird because I had Man of Steel as my favorite, but I had Cavill as a fourth. I just think he misses some of that more Clark Kent side of, not even the Daily Planet Clark Kent, just
he's
like...
He's not as soft as like Reeve, for example, as Clark Kent. Right? Yeah. He's a little more...
And he is a little... Yeah, and he is a little less aspirational or inspirational as the others. Ruth, Brandon Routh, great at 3. Number 2 is Christopher Reeves.
Oh my God, Chris.
That's... I get the sacrilegiousness of that, but
It's put some respect on it, okay? It's Reeve.
It's Reeve. It's a Christopher Reeve. Reeve.
What? No S. Yeah.
Interesting. Christopher Reeve. Do people say Reeves?
I slipped up and said it, but I've been saying it mostly correctly. But yeah, most people say Reeves.
Okay. Number two, Christopher Reeve. Great. Very great. Although it is also hard to judge because he has four movies. Mm-hmm. He also has four movies to look dumb and also four movies to look great. And if I just take the best of it, and then that's better because some of that isn't technically his fault.
But he hits the soft. And number really one does hit the soft sides of Clark in a charming, pleasant way. He does it.
Yeah. Number one is Corn Sweat. It was really close between Reeve and Corn Sweat for me. I think what put over the edge of Corn Sweat for me is that his Clark Kent isn't like, oh, hey, Lois, follow me, flip, flip. Like, to me, Clark Kent can be dorky and stuff, but he's kind of, no one cares about Clark Kent. Not even Superman cares about Clark Kent. He's like, oh, well, it's sort of me. And like, and so that's what gives, to me, Corn Sweat the edge. And also, everything I've said so good about him that I said previously before. And also, I do want to bring, because I forgot to bring it before, John mentioned, like, oh, we didn't get, like, Clark Kent, Daily Planet that much, which I'm fine with, because Clark Kent, Daily Planet, no, wait, yeah, Clark Kent, Daily, Superman stories are more focused on Clark Kent, just normal. Like, a lot of them don't take place at the Daily Planet of, like, the more goofy Superman. I got enough of it that I needed. I didn't need more of it in the film. I got the sense that he's I don't know.
Oh man, the character dynamic is just so much better when you see Reeve go from like 6'5" to like hunched over, slung up, slung over. Like, you got all that good stuff, like baggy clothes, like you got all that good stuff, and then now he's just like, he's got hypno goggles. It's good. I mean, I get it. He's got AI back in the cave. I understand that, but like, it's pretty weak. Like, it just, again,
to me, I think he looks more different as Clark Kent, or maybe as different. And Superman, like, I buy it. Like, his hair is more disheveled. It's a little curlier. His suit and stuff is a little more baggy. And as Superman, it's to me, I can buy, and also the glasses. I didn't even need the excuse of hypno glasses. To me, those look like two different people. And I think he's passable of being two different people.
I don't know, for a paper that prints a lot about Superman and has got Superman sitting right next to him, I appreciate the glasses thing. It is a nice little throwaway in today's world, like, of, like, AI and food scanning and whatever else. Like, I'm glad they did something, but it just, as far as, like, dynamic, I just don't get it. Real fast, I have to say this, because I did not say it the whole time. I hate that they make Jimmy Olsen a sexual, like,
it's pedestal. Weird. The thing is, it's weird.
Stupid. Again, this is one of those comic book things. Jimmy gets it.
He's a four. I'm better looking than Jimmy. I've been hit on like my entire life. I mean, even by my wife.
Isn't that so funny? I don't think my wife has ever hit on me. I think I've only got hit on maybe twice.
but
even
even
in comic books, for some reason, Jimmy gets tail. I don't know how to explain it. One thing I didn't mention before, we didn't mention. I love seeing Supergirl. I can't wait for Supergirl. I love
an immediate detriment to me. Well, immediate. Sorry, the last thing in the movie is, oh, come on. I don't. Ugh.
No, she's that. The story. So the story they're basing off of is one of the best comic books written in the last 10 years. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, such a great comic book. And, like, yeah, part of the story is that she turns 21, and so in order to go party or whatever, she goes off-planet so she can get a red sun, because, like, Kryptonians can't get drunk. Like, their body just eats it away. And so she goes to this other planet, and she meets this girl who's on a quest for revenge, and it goes through. Supergirl is really interesting in the sense that she wasn't sent to Earth as a baby. Like, she watched, so she grew up on this, like, kind of off planet that was almost like a moon of Krypton. And when Krypton exploded, it also was, like, dying, but it was, like, slowly dying. And so, like, she watched as people that she loved, she's like a 13-year-old at this point. She watches people she loved just die and die around her until, you know, she was able, until her father was able to make an escape thing for her to go off on. And so she's way more like traumatized by the loss of Krypton. Like Superman didn't, he never knew Krypton. He didn't lose really anything, but she knew Krypton. And it's like, she lost her home and her family and her life. So she carries a little more weight for, right? Weight around, emotional weight around with her. And that's what that story explores a lot of.
Just
couldn't she have told her cousin though about like his real purpose coming to Earth and that his parents probably kind of sucked
her
a little?
Her presence raises way more questions than it answers. And it opens the idea of like, more extended universe. Now it's like,
when, again, she lives on like a moon of Krypton. Do you know everything your uncle's up to?
Not good.
I try to avoid it.
Exactly. That's not my uncle. I've never been worried about that because I'm like, I don't know what my uncle's up to. I don't know what.
Real talk before I get into mine. The thing that sucks is I do think that what you just said makes for a better movie than this Superman movie. I do think it's got great potential.
I think so too.
The thing that sucks though is society, how things work. This movie didn't do that great. Superman didn't do that great. Supergirl's gonna, it's not gonna do great. It's gonna have a similar budget. People are gonna get paid, but it's gonna not do well, and it's gonna suck. Like that sucks that I feel like it's not gonna do well. Like, unfortunately, female led superhero movies just don't do well, and that sucks for.
I don't think that statement is fully true. I think it's mostly true. Wonder Woman made $800 million. A DC movie.
That is the exception.
I was
going to say,
is that one example, though?
Captain Marvel made $1 billion.
But that was coming off of, that was the movie before Endgame. You had to go see that because it was the movie before Endgame.
But the other movies that didn't do well, were any of them good? Catwoman, Elektra,
Supergirl. I think
the truer statement is bad movies with female leads do bad, and better movies with female leads do better. And so you got to make a good movie. I'm not saying that it doesn't have some obstacles it needs to overcome, but first of all, just be a good movie, and that will already be the biggest.
I want them to put all the good effort and don't take anything for granted. Like, double down on what this movie needs. Hey, real fun fact, what is the first female superhero led movie? Go.
Some Pam Grier movie? That's what I'm going
to do. Superhero. No idea.
Female lead.
Well,
1954. Go.
Supergirl?
Supergirl.
I don't know. Okay, Superman, that's what I would have guessed.
Supergirl is 84. Yep.
Okay, I was like, I think this is an obvious answer, but it was so obvious that I was trying to trick myself out of it.
Good movie. It had a similar budget. I've never heard of it. Like, I know what Supergirl is, but I'm not familiar with the movie.
I tried to watch it after the Superman thing. I was in such a Superman mood. I was like, let me watch Supergirl. First 15 minutes, like, holy crap. This is bad.
Yeah, with a budget of Superman 3, and it couldn't do anything with it. But good actors, but anyway, I'm going to go with Corn Sweat.
Corn Sweat.
And then I'm going to go with Cavill. Cavill, and then Roth, and then Reeves, Brandon Roth, or maybe I'm messing up. I'm getting tired, but like,
I know, right?
With a better suit, I could see Cavill taking his place, but with a better suit, he could be number one. With a better suit, with a better movie, like, he was so good. Corn Sweat, I actually really like the symbol. I like the suit. I do. I like
well,
it.
Well, let's
I
get
dislike
into the suit
any
in a second, I guess, but I have feelings.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I thought I was, you know, I had some trepidations going into it, but like, overall, I think his Superman is pretty spot on for Superman.
So let's do suits next, since we kind of got to suits already. So I didn't like the corn sweatsuit because I didn't like the textures of it. It looked like kind of leathery almost. I don't know. It just didn't hit right for me. And then the Reeves suit is my number three. It looks good, but it just looks kind of dated, but it looks good. And the Ralph suit, very similar, right? It's supposed to look very similar. And I love the Cavill suit because I love the S looking less like an S makes more sense to me as it being an alien symbol of hope. And I like that. I liked that tie-in. It felt natural and kind of unique. It's probably not comic book unique, but to me, it made it unique and interesting, and I liked it. So, Cavill.
Interesting enough, it does match a lot of the early S's. Like, they took inspirations from the early S's, which is kind of like more, I can't say.
Yeah, like I have a feeling that
maybe. Yeah. I have a feeling that maybe me and John are going to be right on here. Let's see. Go ahead and go, John.
There's no way. Come on. There's no way. What in all of this makes you think we're going
to
be getting
close? You guys really like the corn sweat? That leathery texture look to it?
It almost has the material of like those mats that you jump on, like a pole vaulter would land on. Like it doesn't.
It felt stiffer to me than,
I would go Returns dead last. It just colors, and then the way it just like it feels so streamlined and like commercial, like on his chest. It just, I don't know, the shorts seem extra small, like he's like a Speedo almost. Like it just doesn't
didn't
look
make me laugh. Yeah, it's almost
it's just not good. And then, suit. Okay, then I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Oh, God,
he's
it hurts.
Killing
all right,
himself
I'm going to go
over there.
Superman 25. I do like the suit. I really do. But there's something about that Man of Steel suit, the way it shimmers off of that little designs going around all of it. Like it needs to be maybe a little bit brighter, but I just love the way it shimmers almost.
It
like,
looks like an alien like, material. It doesn't look like a man-made thing.
Yeah. Well, and what they did was they padded Cavill with like a silver metalish type of deal and then put the suit over it. That's why it shines kind of out. That's why it shimmers kind of outwardly.
It works.
Like, builds off like Zod later on. He has his black undersuit, right? Like early on in the movie, like his dad has it. It connects the dots so well. It's almost like in 78 when Jor-El is like, you know, imprisoning Zod and all them. He's got the S symbol and everything, and it when it carries over, it just makes you feel good. And then I'm gonna go 78 just because it's just again when I close my eyes, it's what I imagine. Like it did need to be updated. But when I close my eyes, that's what I imagine. But I will say, I would put, oh God, this hurts, but I might put, I'll put the black Superman suit from Snyder Cut over Superman 25.
Oh, I didn't even consider the black one.
I don't consider that like a permanent enough fixture, at least a movie side, right? I didn't even consider it, but.
I mean, it's in the whole movie. Like his Superman in that movie is the whole suit. So I
But is it not yeah, in the Whedon cut? In the Whedon cut, is he red and blue? Am I conflating some things? Okay. I don't know. I like my Superman to be kind of classic Americana color, so I would keep the black suit pretty low, I think. But I just, the S symbol being that like a meaningful thing instead of like, no, I just came here and people called me Superman, so I slapped it on here. Like, no, that's valuable to me. So I think that adds.
So good.
It is. It just that's probably the Superman that I picture when I just think about Superman suit. It's probably that one.
Yeah. Real fast, we're talking suits. Can we just have a moment, a head tilt, a nod, an appreciation for the Flash Supergirl suit? Because oh my God, is that suit freaking awesome? And she's hot as hell in that movie. Like, good Lord.
I think it's. I'm not going to take it.
I love her super suit. I love it. It's so good.
I like her in the movie a lot.
Yeah. Oh, her suit might be better than Cavill's. Oh, so good. She's wearing it better. I don't know what to tell you.
I hear you, man.
You know what's one of the best? You know what's one of the best? What I think might be the best female superhero in DCEU? Mary Marvel in Shazam 2. You can look that up, John. Shazam 2. Just look up the picture if you want. I think it's Mary Marvel, Shazam 2. I think it's great. For me.
That's great.
So I only did the 4. Brendan Routh suit looks terrible. A maroon cape, Speedo. The S is way too small. If it could have been better. Number 3. So I thought me and John might be in line. We weren't. Number 3, I have Henry Cavill suit in there. It's a great suit. I love the suit. It just needs something to break up the middle. Like, it's too blue. It needs at least a belt or something to break up all the blue. It needs, like, a red belt or something in there. That would be the only thing I would add to it. Number 2, Corn Sweat. Suit looks amazing. And I didn't think it was going to look amazing going into it. I was just like, oh, the suit looks fine. But in the film, there are so many great shots of the suit. The underwear works. I was not team underwear, but it works somehow.
It breaks up the blue, suit. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it breaks. Yeah, it looks. Yep. The suit looks so freaking good. There's so many scenes. I'm like, man, that suit looks great. And then number one is Reeve. He just wears the suit. So like it could. Anybody else wearing it could come up as a joke, but it doesn't with him.
That guy, he more than any other actor since needed to be huge.
Yeah, technology had to be. Yeah, demanded. It was all there. They needed to put some legs on him, but. Yeah, he went from like 175 to 220, I think.
He needed every pound to fill up that suit and not just have it look like a kid's costume.
Right, yeah.
I will say, before we get to these next elements, that I pretty much like all of the Superman actors, and I pretty much like all the Superman suits. I cannot say the same for the next two lists of Luthor's or Lois's, or kind of the opposite. For me, you guys got a preference, Lois or Luthor?
Let's go Lois, because I it's so hard to differentiate. Sure.
So Lois, I did 4. I did. I had to look it up, but I did the Returns lady who's Bosworth, something Bosworth. She didn't do a whole lot for me in that movie. As like an actress, like I liked the narrative and the ship there, but she didn't do a whole lot for me. And then 3, I did. Bo'Shannon, the recent one, she was not my favorite type of human. And then 2, listen, I love Amy Adams, so I did 2 Kidder, 1 Amy Adams, but that's not really a slight on either. I enjoyed them both. I thought Amy Adams was pretty convincing. Maybe a little too, like, peppy? There might be a word in there, but I really like her as Lois, so...
All right, I have at number 4, I forget her name, from Superman Returns. Bosworth. She was just kind of nothing. Mm-hmm. Kate Bosworth. She was kind of nothing to me. Number 3, this was tough between the next two. Margot Kidder, just because I didn't really, like, she didn't care at all for Clark. Just annoyed me. She's still good.
She's a good, like... woman in a man's world for that time. She's a good Lois.
Yeah. Number 2, Amy Adams. I like her. She's a great actress. She has not that much chemistry with Henry Cavill. It's the last movie she does, I think, they have more chemistry. And number 1, like, not even close, Rachel Brosnahan and Superman 2025. This Lois is feisty. She is, like, that interview with Clark to me is so good. Annoying. Like when he says when she says, well, she's so excited to interview him, but she's like, you wouldn't like that. He's like, oh yeah, sure. And like she knows. Like, and then like the interview, it holds like them two are kind of sparring. Like it holds him accountable. She's holding him accountable. They're going back and forth. And one thing shows that Superman, like, he goes through his, like, he goes through his points. He's not just, he just isn't like, oh, I just go do good and stuff. He, like, he brings up his points as if, like, in an articulate manner. Like when they're talking about Barovia, he's like, just because this happened, like we can't trust this and this. Like they're having an intellectual debate on things, which doesn't usually happen between Clark and Lois.
Yeah, Superman's into torture.
Huh?
Superman's into torture with cactuses.
Yeah. That's Ty. Right. So love her Lois Lane. She
strikes me as the type of girlfriend who causes dramatic shit just to be dramatic, and that pissed me off.
That wasn't. Lois Lane is the reporter with the most integrity, and if she didn't, like, she's doing an interview with Superman, and if she didn't ask these questions, if she didn't raise up these questions to him, that would not be, even though she loves him, even though that's her boyfriend, that would not be, that would threaten her integrity as a reporter. And she tells him, she's like, he's like, well, we talked about this, like, why would you even ask me about this? She's like, this is the question that I would ask you as a reporter.
Which is why,
like,
Superman should never field such interviews or interview himself the first place.
That's the thing. That's why she tells him, like, I'm not sure you would like me to interview you. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, and in the moment in between the interview where she's like, how do you think this is going? He's like, I think it's going pretty good for me. Like, you can see the facial expression of her being like, oh, okay, let me turn it up a little bit. Like, she then takes it up to another level, and it gets to him.
Superman needed to spend more time studying up in the Fortress of Solitude enough to know not to accept interview requests.
So my last one is that chick, because dude made her breakfast dinner. He was about to get it in, right? Like, he was about to make her dessert. And then she just goes and starts yelling at him. Like how can I let him make you dinner? And it's romantic. And then it's just,
She was mean dramatic.
Yeah. She was being a reporter. Again, it's the integrity.
You're not supposed to be a reporter. You're at home. Just hush and
together. Oh, okay, Sean. You want women just
to
hush,
I meant both of them.
Right?
Sorry, let me clarify. They should both shut up and just enjoy dinner.
They came out of the kitchen, so she didn't have to hush. Yeah, it's fine.
No, I absolutely meant both. They were annoying. That scene was easily the worst scene in the movie, and Chris is wrong.
It's one of the best.
Even my wife, who's feisty, like, even she was like, she's feisty for no reason. She's so angry.
She came out aggressive. Like, yeah. She came out mean.
Yeah.
That's
Here's a question. How many of us have a master's degree in journalism? Go ahead, raise your hands. You know what they don't tell you is to come out acting like a bitch to start an interview.
I'm just gonna lie.
Yeah. They don't teach you that. That's not the sign of a good reporter. You have to ask the hard questions. Her questions were good. Her manner was bad.
I think you guys are misjudging her. I think the manner was perfectly fine. It was perfectly adequate. You don't have to be like, oh, hey, Superman, what color is my underwear?
She was terrible. She was gaslighting him. She didn't solve anything. Nope. Jimmy did all the work, and so did Superman. She was wasted and worthless.
She solved everything. Jimmy didn't even see the pictures in the background. She's piecing all this stuff together.
That stuff I was okay with. I'm fine with. I want to say
these two have the best chemistry, I think. Like, they look like they're effing off screen. They have the absolute best chemistry.
Stop. Ugh. God, nobody can have chemistry when they wear pants like that. No.
Absolute best chemistry.
She's wearing clown pants. Anyway, all right. So I'm gonna go her dead last because she's trash. And then I'm gonna put returns because she's a nothing burger. She's so bland.
There's not much there. Yeah.
Then I'm gonna go. I'm going to go with Margot Kidder just because I do feel more chemistry with Amy Adams, like a character.
Think Amy Adams and Cavill has more chemistry? They look like they're...
No question. Dude, when he's getting in the bathtub, she had a long day, and she's going to have an even longer day. Like, no, like, no. Like,
Chris, I bought that they're two people in a very complicated relationship, and there was some stiffness to them that I felt played.
Yeah, dude. Like, she's, I'll give her a fuck. Margo Kidder, too, with, like, little nuances of, like, how many L's does this have, and, like, all that other stuff, and, like, she's putting herself in danger. Like, she is a good Lois. I just, like, the chemistry, the overall Lois, I think, is Amy.
To flip this on John, though, my favorite chemistry between Kidder and Reeve is absolutely the gun scene from the Donner Cut. 100%. Love that scene. Love the way they interact in that scene. Oh. God. I'm sorry, John. Can't help it.
I just spread
my annoying crap out equally. Let's do Luthor's next, who I'm just going to go first, because I've been going first. B, this is the hardest for me because I just don't really like any of them. Okay, Gene Hackman is my least favorite. Part of it is him. Most of it's how he's written, and I mentioned it before. He's always talking about being an evil genius. We don't actually see a lot of good stuff work on screen. Number three is Eisenberg. It's just a try-too-hard thing, man. It's like it feels like he's trying too hard to be a Joker to me, and I don't dig it. Number one, I've got it written as a tie here between the two. I think Spacey was the best part of the Returns movie. I think he was, like, kind of ate up the scenery and what he was in. But I see the appeal of, I don't remember how to pronounce this guy's name, Holt.
Yes.
Holt, yeah.
I like that portrayal of Luthor being, what was that line he said, if people think I was going through you to get this thing, but really I was getting this thing to get to you, when he's talking about acquiring the country or whatever, and what that line delivery and things like that. I like that kind of manic obsessive Luthor. That worked for me. So I'm gonna call a tie. I like them both. There's still not like a nailed it Luthor on screen.
Fair.
I will go next. Number four, Gene Hackman. Same
reason. Sorry, Gene, love Hoosiers.
Number three, Jesse Eisenberg. Has some great moments, but it's too cartoony. It's like, why with the piss in the jar and iced tea and the Jolly Rancher and even the hair looks goofy and even the Mark Zuckerberg of it all.
It's so, like, hard to be over the top.
Number two, Kevin Spacey. Did pretty good. And number one, Nicholas Holt. This, I think, really nails the aspect of Lex Luthor that is envious, that of Superman, of I am, like, Lex Luthor thinks he is the pinnacle of humanness, and, like, oh, here comes this alien who challenges me, who makes me nothing. Like, I was the pinnacle of human ingenuity. I built this company. I made it what it was. I am the smartest person in the world. When people compare me to doofuses like Einstein and Galileo and stuff, that puts a vomit in my mouth because I'm so much better and smarter than they are. Type Lex Luthor. And I thought it was, like, ingenious, his team of people he had. Like, he doesn't have henchmen. Like, they all enjoy working for him. Like, when they're going around and, like, celebrate, it's like corporate America. But if you were supervillains, and I thought the chess piece aspect of it all, of him calling out
numbers
genius. That's his way of fighting Superman.
I understand
the time delay type of stuff, but being like, I have studied this person so much that I have different maneuvers and moves. And it was really smart and genius of the movie is for him to have all these different moves and stuff. You say he has 2,000 different moves, but at the end of the day, he just wants to punch Superman. He keeps saying 1A, 1A, which is just a punch to the face. See, and after all of that,
that part comes down jagged to me of, like, I don't see Luthor, like, doing that himself, like, video game style. That's probably comic book-y, right? But to me, it felt like bad camp kind of. That was my lesser friend, but I liked the rest. I liked his motivations. I liked his emotional portrayal.
It makes me sad that, like, we're going from, like, 78 and 89 Batman was oozing with atmosphere and character and style and great actors, and we're going to this. Like, because he is. He gets it. He just gets it. He just has it. It's right there in the closet. I'll just go pick it up right there. Like, what?
He made it's not like someone handed him those things. It's not like he just
fell into his lap. On the fly in that entire movie that he had to invent on the fly or had to go actually get it or try for anything. Nothing.
It's not about he created all that stuff. He created the pocket dimension. Like terrific is like I can't believe he did it. This like the son of a bee did it. Like he created the pocket dimension to these things. Like he did all these things. He was the one that tracked Superman's location. He put all these things into motion and to work. Like he earned all nothing. Like I said, he built all of that. He earned it all. Sure, you didn't see every little piece of it, but he did it all.
The movie feels like we got dropped in Avengers Age of Ultron, and then like we just know all this stuff. Like I don't know. Anyway, he's my dead last. I like the actor. He's not really a lead guy, but he's okay. I just don't like what they did with the character. Like I think there's more you could do. I think it can be better. I think it has the possibility of being the best. The movie just felt like it had so much to do. And because of the way it was TikTok cut out, people are loving it. But anyway, I'm going to go Kevin Spacey just because, again, it's one movie. It's kind of forgettable. I do like it. I think he's great. I don't like it. I just prefer the other ones more. Then I'll go, I'll go Eisenberg and then I'll go Hackman. It's Gene Hackman. He's one of the best actors of all time. And some of it's, he just passed away. Some of it's nostalgia. Some of it's just, I just love seeing Gene Hackman's amazing in every movie he's ever been in. There's not been a movie with Gene Hackman in it that I've seen that I didn't like.
I do like Gene Hackman as an actor. I just hate that portrayal of Luther. Where he just like, how many times per movie do I have to hear him say, "I'm the greatest criminal mind of all time"? It's like, when has he done something that worked?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, again, I don't think my list is right at all in this one. Like, there's a lot of hills I die on, but like that's nostalgia and just like enjoying seeing them on screen kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fair. He's Hoosier's a great movie. What else is he in? Drums Across the River, the old western. Is that Gene Hackman?
Yeah, he's in Crimson Tide. He's in what's the one with Clint Eastwood?
Is he in Every Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood, the one with the monkey? Is he in that one?
That one I don't know. Oh, what am I thinking of? Help me out, Chris. Come on, man.
Well, Chris doesn't strike me as a Gene Hackman movies type.
Yeah, I don't have that much knowledge on Gene Hackman.
What is that? It's going to kill me. Oh, my God. Hang on.
So we'll have to Google it because it feels like we're missing a big one. But
Morgan Freeman I can't think of it. Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood. Oh, my God.
We go to ChatGPT from asking about the Donner Cut sex scene. This movie was Gene Hackman in with Clint Eastwood.
Unforgiven. Amazing movie. Quick in the Dead. Again, Crimson Tide's amazing. Mm-hmm.
So
the one with Will Smith, Enemy of the State. Like, he's just good.
That one I know by name, but I don't think I've seen it.
That's a good movie.
But
I would say pound for pound, Crimson Tides is best movie because he's in it a lot.
Most nostalgia for Hoosiers, which I think is probably a common great theme movie for people as well. But listen, guys, we've been this episode 2.5 hours.
My bad.
No, it was not anybody's bad because it was perfect and beautiful is what it was. But
and again, I just want to reiterate that Superman the movie came in at 1, 2, 3, 4, four, five, six. Yeah, six out of 11.
Chris, you picked 2025 as your second favorite. Your vote doesn't count either. Get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Superman 2025 will come. It's like a
John, you picked it as five.
That was the
78. Somebody took a dump in your mouth. Okay, like you're not gonna forget 78. 25 is nothing. It will come and go. Nothing. It won't be talked about.
It was
in
Chris, you distinctly remember that was my cutoff before movies that I actually will intentionally watch again.
Nonetheless, numbers don't lie, Sean. We talk about this all the time.
Science is science.
You know, after we do ratings,
but that's why we have to put science. That's why we have to put ratings to them instead of rankings, so we can get a better, you know, better sense of the gaps, if that makes sense. But
I was gonna say, it didn't even look at the box.
Well, now, this to me, this was very unbiased. I wasn't trying to. We didn't know where we were coming in at. If we did a ratings now, if we're doing ratings now, John will go to a negative two on 2025, just to throw off the numbers.
I think all there's a middle. There's a middle glut of movies in there. Like there's because there's the ones I would like, and then there's this big middle glut. And then there's 3, 4, and 2 that would be low. But that big middle glut would all probably look pretty
sane. I do want to say this, Sean. If you take out, if you just look at Superman movies, just Superman, Superman 2025 is the second one. Just putting that out.
It's not, though.
I am just reading the numbers here.
Well, you messed those numbers up.
Just... I didn't. These are sound.
It's 2025.
I would just.
These are just sound numbers that we have here.
Just reminding people that I placed it my number 5 right ahead of number 6, which was the Whedon Justice League. So just in context. Okay. In context, everybody.
You put it at 5. I put it at 10. And you put it at 2. I don't get how it's that high up.
Because like, we had too much other discrepancy, and he said two pure, so he's taken out Justice League Snyder cut so it makes him feel better. Chris, I was just watching the whole movie. It's like, what am I, is this a family film? And then something would happen, like, oh, I guess not.
Yeah, like the giant.
I will say that the movie, and really one of my critiques of the film is that there's too much cursing in it. Like, why is there so much cursing in this movie? It is more of a family, all ages movie. And that's what they, you know, were making, you know, all ages film. I think that's what their aim was. But like Man of Steel is more like little kids. Like, you gotta be like 15 and up, I think, to really enjoy Man of Steel. Well, I think Superman 2025 is more like, hey, everyone can find something that they like in it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think that's what their aim was.
I think on that note, I think, yeah, probably if I had to look at 78, like, objectively, I'd probably say that, yeah, you probably need to be in your 30s. And I mean, you probably appreciate it somewhat in your 20s, but, like, you got to be a little bit older, because otherwise you're just, it's going to be slow compared to, especially this thing. Like,
it's... Officially settled, though. TMNT movies next. Was there 7? 7 of those? No, God. No weird cuts.
Well, no. There's the 4 originals. There's the 2 Michael Bay ones.
What's the 4th original? Hold on. I only know 3 originals.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cartoon's the 4th. That's what. Because in my head, I'm always thinking of that like 4-pack you can get. Yeah. If I have that 4-pack, that okay. 3 original, TMNT cartoon, the 2 Michael Bay ones, and the most recent one.
So it's at 8? 7. 8.
Sorry, 8.
Yeah, 8 fingers? Gosh,
8.
It's 2:30. But, okay, TMNT next. Let's give ourselves some time to process. I have a feeling our TMNT ones would probably be a little closer other than Chris's forgiveness Michael Bay.
Our cover. I like lots of things about those movies.
And I haven't...
They would be.
I haven't seen the latest one yet, like the Seth Rogen whatever one. I have no opinion on that.
Honestly, I think it's overrated.
Interesting. Yeah, hey, save it. Okay, we will shock value next time. Just like, this was a shock to me. To me, it was very shocking. Hey, John, thanks for talking with us for literally 4 hours.
Four and a half.
Something
right?
like that. Yeah.
5 hours?
4.5 hours.
9:30?
Yeah, what's 9:30? 5 hours, yeah, basically, give or take. Thanks for your time. Chris, not that that makes you. Thank you for your time. Also, for the record, all time is valuable to me. My name's Sean. That's Chris. That's John. This has been Avatar. This has been a whole lot of Avatar the Last Podcasters. Likes, thumbs ups.
I did bring up Aura and Aang. So there's that
just,
for those.
Just to
people.
Wet their whistle a little bit. I hope that people like see the length and the title, and if they're not into it, that they're just like, all right, I'm just gonna come back next week. I hope they don't sit through it waiting for the payoff. Likes, comments, thumbs ups, subscriptions, bells, positive reviews. We love it all. Whatever you'll give us, we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.